It is good to see everyone on this January 8th, 2023, and we are looking at a message today entitled The Life of Christ in Us. It's being taken directly out of the Scripture, out of the power of the Word of God, and we're going to begin in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And the beauty of this thing, this is a perspective that God wants us to grasp. We want to understand that the living, active, victorious, all-powerful, resurrected life of Jesus Christ is living within the child of God through and by the person of the Holy Spirit. And Paul wants us to gain this perspective. Paul relished it, and he said it all the time. I don't say it as much as I should. I'm starting to say it more. I would say the Holy Spirit indwells me, which is true. But we want to look at how Paul merges this concept of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, being the actual life of Jesus Christ coursing within us, outflowing from our spirit. And I think it's a great thing the next time you feel like the old devil's just pounding you and pounding you and pounding you, you can say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. The very life of the resurrected Jesus Christ is living within me." Amen. That's a wonderful thing that we can claim. So Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says this, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ is alive in me." Christ lives in me. "And the physical earthly life which I now live in this body, in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the power of the Son of God, the hope of the Son of God, the peace of the Son of God. I'm living by the life of the Son of God and everything that encompasses." Everything that is the life of Christ, the Scripture is saying by the Holy Spirit, is now in me. "Who loved me and gave himself as a sacrifice for me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I'm awed by your Scripture. I'm humbled by the privilege to try to share it. But Father, just get me out of the way. Let your Holy Spirit penetrate hearts and speak to minds. And Father, let us leave here lifted up a little higher in you. Let us leave here with a little more assurance of victory in you, as we come to an understanding about all that there is that is in us, through you and by you. So Father, forgive me of my daily sin and my weekly sin, and I pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will take over. Cleanse me by your blood and anoint me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Let me decrease as you increase. Let me humbly wash the feet of these that have gathered to hear the word and these that will listen to this message. But may we listen to the Scriptures, and may we listen to the Holy Spirit as he's our perfect teacher. In your glorious name, Lord Jesus, your glorious name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says this, "The life that I now live, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ is alive in me." Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, the Scripture says this. In Philippians 2, verse 13, the Scripture says this, "For it is God which is working in me, both to accomplish his will and to do things that are pleasing unto him." It is God which is working in me, both to accomplish his perfect will for my life and to do things that are pleasing unto him. So I want you to understand two points as we begin today. Christ is alive within me, and he needs to be active within me. I want Jesus Christ alive within me. That happens at the point of my salvation. And I want his life active within me, achieving things, working out things, his purpose, his goodness. I want to be immersed within his character and his personality. And I say again, I must decrease so that he will increase. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to show you exactly where the Lord is within you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, he says this. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Your bodies are the members of Christ. And if you come back to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, the scripture says this. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. My body is the temple of God. And then when I come back over here to 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17, it says this. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So what does that mean, Brother Leo? I want you to understand that we are body, soul, and spirit according to the Apostle Paul. And that is truth. And if you compare the body, soul, and spirit to the temple of God, because our body is the temple of God, my body is the outer court. My body is the outer court. Within my body is a soul. My soul is the holy place where the priest goes in daily to offer sacrifice, to light the candles, to place the showbread each week. But my spirit is the Holy of Holies, where they would enter in just one time a year. So I want you to understand, you have a body, which is physical. You have a soul, which is your mental, your emotional, your thoughts, your feelings, your ability to reason, your ability to logically look at things, your anger, your happiness, all these things, your memory and your mind. Your soul is going to live forever. Your soul leaves your body at the moment of death and goes and is with the Lord. You're clothed with the heavenly. But I want you to understand you have a spirit within your soul that makes man unique. And in the depth of your soul is a spirit. Now this spirit is the spiritual capacity within man to understand and know God. And then to become united with God as one when he sends his Holy Spirit from heaven into you. And so that scripture there says that at the moment of salvation, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And so you're joined into this one spirit in intimacy and union and fellowship and communion and a sort of a melding of a partnership, but it's not a partnership because he is Lord. And so what I want the influence, it is the life of Christ. He is the life of Christ. And I want the influence, the personality, the characteristics, the attributes of the life of Christ to overtake mine. As he is united with my spirit as one. And so I must decrease so that he can increase. So all that is of Christ is within me. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Paul relished in this perspective. Paul made it through prisons. Paul made it through beatings. Paul made it through rejection, shipwreck, near-death experiences because he held on to the fact that the life of Christ was within him. The eternal life of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says this. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory, the wonderful, awe-inspiring glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ Jesus is in you. The life of Jesus is in us. Somehow we separate ourselves from the Lord, Lehman.
Amen.
Somehow we got the Lord way up there, and here we are in church. We're singing to Him. We're pleasing Him. No. Yeah, certainly He is there, but He is here.
Amen. Yeah.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Bless His holy name. Christ is within you in communion, in fellowship, in union, in intimacy. Christ is in you, and that should change every perspective of the born-again child of God. I am never alone. I will never be alone.
Amen.
You will never be alone. Christ is in you. And Paul wanted folks to understand this, because in the old covenant, Christ was not in them. Christ was the one they worshipped. God was the one they worshipped from afar. So the life of Christ, Christ Himself in us by the person of the Holy Spirit, Christ in us. Go with me to John 14. Jesus wanted them to know this. Jesus wants you to know this. Get thee behind me, Satan. The very resurrected, all-victorious life of Jesus Christ is in me. His power, His compassion, His healing, His goodness, His patience, His peace, His hope, His joy. It's in me.
Amen.
And I don't want to cap it. I don't want to quench it. I don't want to drown it out. I want it in me, through me, and flowing out of me.
Yes.
Next week, good Lord willing, we'll look at the tree of life, Judy. We're to eat from the tree of life. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. Now, look at what he says in John chapter 14, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And in verse 20, he says, I will be in you. Verse 18, I will come to you. Verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I will be in you. I will come to you, and I will be in you. Does that mean that he's going to come back in the flesh and somehow he's going to go down my throat and his whole body's going to be within me? Is that what's going to happen? I mean, I'm sure they didn't understand everything about what he was saying. How can a man be in me? How can a man be born again after he's already come out of the womb? I can see where they asked these questions. They didn't have our perspective. We're looking back 2,000 years. With the entire revelation of the Word of God. But notice what he says in verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter, an advocate, a helper, a companion, a partner, that he may abide, live, and dwell with you forever. You know, Jerry, forever is a long time. And when he comes in me, he sets up his household. That's what that word means. He sets up his household within me forever.
Amen.
You cannot lose your salvation.
Amen.
You can't lose it. You can lose the joy of it. You can lose the blessings of it, but you can't lose your salvation.
Amen.
Or Jesus would have said he'll come in you, and then if you mess up, he'll leave you.
That's right. Amen.
But he didn't say that, did he? And notice what he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. Who did they know? Who did they know? They didn't know the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. They knew Jesus. You know him. Who's him? You know me. He's talking about himself. You know me. And look at what he says. You know me, for he has dwelt with you these 3.5 years, and shall be in you. So how's he going to be in me? Through the person of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So if I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit, I've got the very life of Jesus Christ within me. And all of that entails, Apollos, when you read the Gospels, You read it with a new perspective. When you see Jesus healing folks and loving folks and forgiving folks and walking on water and all these things that the Lord is doing, when you read something, say, wow, that life's in me. Wow, that life's in me. When he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You don't say, wow, that life's in me. Yeah. I don't have to be bitter. I don't have to hold on anymore. When you see him laughing and holding children, man, that life, that personality, that character, that those attributes are all in me. Yeah. That's why Paul said, man, I can't wait to get out of the body of this death. I want to strip this thing away so all that stuff can really not get held back. Yeah. You know, so that's your goal. You don't want it held back. So it's the Holy Spirit. I will come to you. I will be in you by the person of the Holy Spirit, by the indwelling of the person of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to John chapter 20. And if you don't get anything, I want to drive this point home today. In literature, in poetry, in music, you have a climax to every piece. You have that apex, then you have a denouement. That's a fancy French word for a falling away. You know, you kind of fall away. For this sermon, this is the apex verse of this sermon. And everything else will be a falling away. Grab it. John chapter 20, verse 19 says this. In the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, there came the resurrected Jesus and he stood in the midst. I was reading another account of this week, and this author, Kathy, he goes, can you imagine? He said, there they were all afraid. And here comes Jesus through the wall, resurrected. And the first thing he says is, hey, you guys got anything to eat? He didn't say fear not. He said, hey man, I'm hungry. You guys got some fish? What's wrong with you boys? I told you I was going to rise again. Yeah. I figured y'all would have a big, you know, layout. Isn't that something? Yeah. You know, we carry on that tradition. Yeah. Somebody dies, we feed the family. Yeah. You know, we have that afterwards. That bunch, they weren't counting on Jesus to show up. He walked, hey, you guys got anything to eat? And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so even so I send you. And when he had said this, this is the verse now, this is it. You know, if this was Mozart, you know, the drums, everything would be going. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know what happens when you get saved, Lehman? Yes. The divine, resurrected, eternal breath of God gets breathed into your spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It's an individual experience. The divine, all-powerful, resurrected, all-victorious breath of Jesus Christ, pneuma. That word breath is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A in the Greek, or U-E-M-A. I don't have it written down. I know it. You can Google it and correct me if you want to. But the bottom line is this. It means breath or wind. Breath or wind. He breathed on them. And notice what he says. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. God wants us to have the perspective that the Holy Spirit in us is the breath of God, which represents the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves me. the breath of the resurrected life of Christ that defeated death, hell, grave, judgment, that is in me. The life of Christ is within me. And it's within you. The strength that endured the cross is within you. The patience that God showed people when He was on earth is within you. The love, the compassion, the discipline, the prayer life, the faith, all that the life of Christ encompasses. Every time you read about Jesus in the Gospels, you are now a partaker of all that was revealed to us about Him. The life of Christ is within us. And He wanted us to have that perspective, or why else would it have been recorded? He could have laid hands on them. Said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." He didn't. He could have just spoken it, but He didn't. He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. This is the perspective we are to have of the indwelling, the pneuma. The life of the resurrected Christ is living within me. Now I'm going to tell you something. That was historical. That really happened. You know, one day, Connie, the resurrected Christ breathed into me. On the day of my salvation, the Holy Spirit was sent from heaven and it came into me. The very breath, the eternal breath of the resurrected Christ has entered me in the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, we miss this, Kathy. We miss it. People want to talk about, "Oh, I've got this gift of the Spirit," or "I've got the power of the Spirit," or "We've got this," or blah. You know, they don't even know the Holy Spirit's a who. He's not a what. He's a personality of the Godhead. The person of God the Father, the person of God the Son, the person of God the Spirit, which is the life of the resurrected Jesus Christ. So He ascends in all of His resurrected power, and now He breathes out eternal life on each and every one of us. If you have received Christ, you have received life. Life is in the Son. That's probably next week's message. I'll try not to get ahead of myself. But I can't. Look at what this says. And when, verse 22, "And when He said this, He breathed on them." Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, the scripture says this: "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground." The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. "And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul."
Amen.
Physical life. My body was made of clay, and then God breathed, I think the second person of the Godhead in human form, came and walked in the Garden of Eden. I believe He came at this time when He was creating Adam, and He took His hands and He took clay and He formed a body laying there. And then He leaned over that body. We know Him today as Jesus. And He breathed into those nostrils the breath of physical life, which brought a soul, a reasoning, a logic, a thinking, and emotions made in the image of God. Let us make man in God's image. Why? Why is it us? Because it's the plurality of the unity, the plurality of the oneness. All the theologians say, you know, we've got one God and three persons. No, you know what the main point is? If you want to be in the image of God, you know what that means? Let us make man. That means relationship and cooperation. The three came together. They are in relationship, in unity and cooperation. Man is relational when he's made in the image of God. Getting too old for this, sis. He's relational. You know what the devil wants to do? Isolate you. Isolate you. Isolate. God, Eve, when she was alone. Let us make man in our own image. So look what it says. He breathed into him, and man became alive physically with a soul and with a spirit, we now know. So what are you saying, Brother Leo? I'm saying it's what he told Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Humanity gets breathed into them the physical life from our Creator God. Life physically is of God. And then I must be born again. I've got to have that breath, the resurrected breath, come into me physically. I've received the Creator breath of God at my birth. I received the resurrected breath of the Redeemer God at my salvation. That's why Cameron and I have a daily prayer, thanking God for my life and thanking God for my salvation. It's John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and all things were made by God. The Word breathed into us. All things were made by God. And who is the Word? Jesus, who became flesh and dwelt among us. So my creation and my salvation, I owe all to Him. And His action and His activity. So you have the very breath of God within you. You are united in the Spirit with Jesus Christ in an intimacy and in a union. I've got the life of Christ, the resurrected eternal life of Christ coursing through my body within my spirit. And so everything that is of the Lord is mine. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I've been made alive in Christ. Paul loved this. The Holy Spirit just moved on him. The resurrected, eternal breath of God breathed into us. Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you hath he quickened, resurrected, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, we have been quickened us together with Christ. There's the unity. You've not just been quickened apart from Christ, you've been quickened with Christ because His resurrection breath's in you. And He's breathed His own breath. His resurrection is my resurrection. I am alive. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to confess to you this is the fourth outline this week, and I did it at 7 o'clock this morning. I told Patty last night, I said, I have no peace about what I'm preaching tomorrow. I was miserable. She knew I was miserable. I had rewritten this outline 3 times. And it had a ton of stuff in it. Okay. But it did not have the rifle shot. And the rifle shot is the life of Christ in us. It was part of it, but it didn't have it. And I woke up this morning. Galatians 2:20 was not in any of my other outlines. Wasn't in any of the other. And I got up this morning and the Spirit said, Galatians 2:20, Christ lives in me. And I pulled my stuff out and I wrote this outline quickly and illegibly. And so that's why I've got a ton of other stuff that ties into this. Good Lord willing, we'll get to next week. But this point, I think, is tremendous. The resurrected eternal life of Christ is in us. Amen. Should give us confidence, hope, peace. But we need to keep telling ourselves that. We need to remind ourselves that verse. Look at what he says in Romans 6, verse 4. He says this, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. I've received that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we should also walk in newness of life." That's present tense. He's not talking about our bodies being raised in the last day. He's saying we have received a new life, a resurrected life, an eternal life. We have received the life of Jesus, resurrected in our life. Now, it is a newness within our life. Verse 10, "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead, but now to be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Have you ever seen those movies where those guys jump up and say, "I'm alive, I'm alive. I'm alive." Well, I want to praise God. We know, jump up and say, "I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive by Christ. I possess the life of Christ."
Yeah, amen.
The victorious life of Christ. The resurrected life of Christ. I possess that. The worst witness in the world is what we call a dead Christian. Man, when I used to do revivals years ago, I'd come back to the hotel room, I'd call Patty, she'd go, "How'd it go?" I'd say, "Boy, that bunch is dead." She'd say, "Boy, you sound worn out." I said, "I am." I said, "Everything I was preaching was just getting absorbed into the back wall." See, with y'all, I feel it bouncing back. I'm telling you, it's a real thing. When you're up there, you can feel it coming back. And what it does, it invigorates you. And it keeps you going. But when it's dead, you know, and the reason I quit doing revivals, if it was a five-night revival or a seven-night or whatever, it takes 3 or 4 nights for somebody to get over the shock of hearing me. I'm serious. You know, the first 2 or 3 nights, I mean, where'd they get this wacko? And you know, and here we go. And then by the time they're starting to kind of, you know, like Ernest T. What was her name at the dance?
Wiley.
Yeah, but who's
Ramona?
Ramona. Do you want to dance with me? You know, by the time they get to that, the revival's over. You know, we're going, "Bro Leo, that last message was great." You know, I was shocked. You know, they're holding on like this place is going to take off. But we're to be alive, enlivened. The very life of Christ is in you. And he has the resurrection power made alive, verse 11, to be alive unto God. I am alive unto God. You can say that out loud. Go into 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter loved it. Peter loved it. We have been raised again to walk in a newness of life. I'm not going to worry about this because the life of Jesus Christ is in me. I'm not going to worry about this because the resurrected life of Jesus, the life of Jesus that has defeated every foe that I'll ever face in this life, that life is living in me. I cannot be defeated unless I allow myself to be defeated. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again," hath born us again, "unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The resurrection of Jesus. I've been born into the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You know what the devil wants to rob you of? Hope. Hope. Wants to rob you of peace, but he wants to rob you of hope. Now, I was having a conversation this week with someone about the news, and somebody made the statement that our country's more divided than it's ever been. I want you to understand something. Things are never like they seem. That's biblical. Our country's not divided. I think 80% of both parties are globalist, one world government power mongers. I believe that with all my heart. And there's going to have to be a one world government, and America's going to have to go along. I believe what we saw last week was a small group that was fighting for true conservative values. And they were made out to be the bad guys. Before I left this morning, I cut it to ABC. What do you think about that hard right-wing part of your party? Hard right. I said, you know, I've never heard ABC talk about the hard left. It's always the hard right. And these people, we're defending, if anybody says they're defending democracy, they're destroying democracy. I just want you to know that. Nothing's ever as it seems. You know, that snake said, hey, if you eat of this apple, things will be great. It's never like it seems. And you got to grasp that. There's an unseen world working. There are powers and principalities.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. We've got Jesus. We've got hope.
Amen. Yes.
He's going to strengthen us. Our faith is not in the government. Our faith is not in man. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are united with Christ. He's my companion. He's my Lord. Go with me. You're right there. Go to one more. Chapter 2, verse 5. You also. Look at this. Now, this is what it ought to be like when we come together. All right? Here we go. You also, as lively stones, are building up a spiritual house. All right? You are the church. I've got a whole thing on that word that has been translated church. You know, church is not, that's nowhere close. Church, oh goodness, is it Danish or German? It's Kirche. That's where they got church. King James threw it in here, but it doesn't come back to ecclesia. Ecclesia is a gathering, an assembly. Church got plugged into that. It actually goes back to circuit, a circle. And it was used to describe a tent. It's the word we get circus from. You know, you say, well, a lot of churches are like a circus. But the reason it is... And I'm going to mess up, the Congregationalists, that there was a group in England when they would come together to meet a religious group, they stood in a circle. And that's the origin of the word. It's actually European. I was studying it last week, and I said, it's got to be Latin. It's got to come out of Constantinople, but it didn't. I'm sorry, Constantine, but it didn't. It's a European word, and that's why the Roman Catholic Church, which we all came out of, Protestants, we brought that with us also. It's an assembly. It's a gathering to the assembly of God at Corinth. Anyway, that's just a little side thing. That's why I'm having to start another website, and I'll give you details on that one day, hopefully in this year. Look what it says. You are lively stones. You're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. You come together as a holy spirit in liveliness, in resurrection joy, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
So when we come together, I am correct when I say I enjoy hearing the laughter, seeing people talking, having Patsy say, not yet. I'm not finished. You can't start. You know, doing that finger. You didn't retire that finger, Pat. You know, I praise God. I praise God for that joy. I was reading another author this week, and he was talking about the concept of heaven. He said, you know, people really think that heaven is just harps and clouds and robes and people sitting around singing. And he said, going to church 24 hours a day. He said, when I first found out that concept, he said, that sounded like hell to me. And then he went on to write about the new heavens and the new earth and the rivers and the beauty and the extravagance of our Creator that we're going to be entering into. And I was studying Revelation, and so many of those things were in there. You know, I can remember as a kid, if I'd have been taught that, I'd have sat there and said, you know, heaven, you sit on a pew 24 hours a day. So we've got all these concepts rattling around that are not biblical. But look what he says. When we come together, we're to be lively stones. There's to be a joyful, resurrection-based personality that is coming out of us. I want to close with one verse and then take you back to where we started. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Christ is alive within me. I am alive in Christ. Christ is alive in me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul says this. And this is what you want. This is what Paul accomplished in the Spirit, in the person of the Holy Spirit. In verse 7, Paul says, we have this treasure of the knowledge of the glory of God, of the experience of the glory of God in our earthen vessels, in our body. That the excellency of the power of God is known, that it's not of us. And then he says this, I'm troubled on every side. Yet I don't get distressed about it. I'm perplexed. I don't understand what's going on. But I'm not in despair. People get upset when they don't understand what's going on. We are not God. A lot of times we're not going to understand what's going on. And at times we think we understand, we're wrong. But he said, I don't get despair. He said, I'm persecuted. People hate me, but I'm not forsaken by God. And there are others. I'm cast down. I mean, he threw me down, but I'm not destroyed. Why? Verse 10. Always bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. Here we go. That the life of Jesus might be manifest, be made manifest in my body. When people come around you, they need to sense the life of Jesus. The joy of Jesus. The peace of Jesus. The love of Jesus. The life of Christ should be made manifest flowing out of my life. I mean, how many people do you know go to church every Sunday, and if that's what Jesus is like, I don't want to be like them. We must be different. You must be different. I've got a guy in Charleston. I love this guy. I've only known him 2 years. He's done a tremendous amount of work on our house down there, and I didn't know him. But I want you to think of a guy I love here in this town named Jimmy Culp. He looks just like Jimmy Culp. And when I met this guy, I told him, I said, I got a guy in Wayne County who looks just like you. And this guy's about 20 years younger than me, and he went to my high school. Though it's closed now, and I went there 20 years before he did. But he's got his own company. And, you know, with construction and stuff, you can't ever count on anything in the way things are. And he tells me and Patty all the time, he goes, you know something, y'all are the most joyful people I have ever dealt with. And then he'll tell me, he goes, you know, he'll call me and he'll say, Leo, we've run into another problem. We're going to have to replace this beam. It's going to be this, and I've got to see if I can get. So, hey, man, you know, no problem. Go ahead. Just whenever. Just get it done. Now, part of it is I'm not living in that house, okay? I do understand. I've got a house. You know, this isn't my house all torn up. But still, You know, and then he'll say, I'm going to send you an estimate. I said, don't even send me an estimate. Just tell me when it's over. The girl's got my checkbook. She'll write you a check. So I've got some circumstances in my favor. However, folks ought to be around us and say things like, man, you know, I get a lot of peace when I'm around you. I feel a lot of encouragement when I'm around you. I sense your joy when I'm around you. Look at what Paul says here. He says, I'm troubled, but I'm not distressed. Do people sense stress when they get around you? That's not the life of Christ being manifested. Burdens? Man, sometimes in my 40 years, I've seen people come through church doors, and man, they seem so burdened down. I can't look at them while I'm preaching because I'll get burdened down. And I mean, it's okay to be burdened every now and then, but don't live 40 years burdened. You know, we got Hunchback of Notre Dame Christians. We got Eeyore Christians. Well, Pooh. It doesn't look good, Pooh. And then there was that little guy in the cartoon I used to watch. Did you ever watch that? You and I are close to the same age. Don't let anybody. He's my age. That guy that used to say, we're doomed, we'll never make it. I can't remember what crowd he ran with. No, it wasn't before you. You know, we're around a lot of those crowds. We're doomed. But you ever walk in and say, boy, things are bad. Jesus is great. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus has not changed. As we enter 2023, we're going to cling to our God and His victory. I want to close out back in Galatians 2. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I want to ask you this question after I read this. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ is living in me. So I'm just going to ask you this. Are you sensing and experiencing the life of Christ within you? We should. We should be sensing and experiencing, hey, this is not me. This is the life of Christ being lived out in me. You know, this has happened and it hadn't bothered me a bit. That's not me. You know, this joy I've got, this is of Christ. This peace I've got, this is of Christ. And you want to actually pray this prayer. Lord, I want more of your life being lived out in me and through me so that others may see it and you can be glorified. Amen. The life of Christ. There needs to be a difference. There are people out there that don't have the life of Christ in them. And then there's us who have the life of Christ in us. That ought to be a huge difference. I ought to be able to walk in the gym and see the folks that have the life of Christ and the folks that don't.
That's right.
We at least ought to be able to know people and discern the life of Christ within them. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that your resurrected eternal life has been breathed into me. I just want you to pray that. Lord, I want to thank you that at salvation, your resurrected eternal breath, your eternal life has been breathed unto me in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not separate. The person of the Holy Spirit is not separated in essence from the person of Jesus Christ. His role, his activity may be different. But the very life of Christ completely has been breathed into me. Thank you. And I want you to ask God to help you to hold on to that thought and that meditation throughout this week. And anytime you come under attack, you say, hey, the life of Jesus Christ is breathing within me, is alive within me, the all-victorious resurrected life of Christ is within me.